Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, God's house, where we get to praise God yet again this Sunday. But let me ask you, why are you here? Inventory. Why? Why are you here?
Worship.
Worship. Sing songs. Why? Praising God. Really? Even with all of the crazy things that God teaches us? All of the hard teachings that we have about Jesus, you're still here to praise Him? Absolutely. Because you know that Jesus, compared to this world, well, it's really no comparison, is it? There's nothing that compares to our Savior. And that's what we'll get to celebrate and remind ourselves of today. We'll begin with a hymn where we call upon the Lord to bless our worship. It's called, I Will Call Upon the Lord. Please note the soloist will introduce the hymn for us, and then we'll join the second time through. God bless your worship this morning.
I will.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin. For faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray again. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love. And that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Today, as we take a look at the fact that nothing compares to our God, we go to Exodus chapter 7, verses 8 through 13. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Exodus 7, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. This is the word of the Lord. We'll now get to follow along and reflect on the words of a solo here called "The Perfect Wisdom of Our God."
Thank you.
Our God's wisdom truly is perfect, and someone who recognized that was Moses. That's what the writer to the Hebrews realized. Looked back at Moses' life and realized, wow, he could have really chosen the world and so many things in the world over and above God, but nope, God or Moses made the right choice because his eyes were focused on eternity. From Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. The word of the Lord. We'll now join together in, not the verse of the day, but the passage of the day, responsively. This is part of a psalm that really reflects what we're talking about today. From Psalm 73, I am always with you.
You hold me by my right hand.
You guide me with your counsel.
And afterwards you will take me into glory.
Whom have I in heaven but you? My flesh and my heart may fail,
but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Amen. Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson is from John 6. Yet again, here we conclude the bread of life discourse, and we see that there are some disciples that fall away from Jesus because of hard teachings. Simon Peter recognized something far more important. From John chapter 6. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and if there are any children in the congregation who want to come forward for a children's message, you can meet me here at the front pew. All right, we've got some this time. Space. That's your brother and sister right there. Morning. How's everybody doing? You awake yet? Yeah? Good. Well, being up in front of everybody will wake you up, that's for sure. I'll wake you up here with a little test. Okay, I've got some things in here, and what I want you to do is I want you to simply compare them. I'm going to ask you how to compare them. Okay? All right, come on up. You can be seated right there. Right over here is some space, too. Okay, you see here, I have two balls here. Which of these balls is bigger? Go ahead, point to it. This one, right? All right, that's pretty easy. That's an easy comparison. I have a couple of pencils here. Which of these pencils is longer?
This one? Yeah. Is that an easy comparison?
Ah, can you compare these two? Which of these actually has something in it?
This
Which one's empty then? Yeah, this one's empty. All right, so not so hard.
Now I've got a couple of different comparisons for you to do, okay? Let's see if you can compare these. What is this?
Bible.
And this is just a regular old history book. This is salvation history, and this is just ancient history, regular history, right? Which of these is more important?
Why? Because God saved us. That's exactly right. The salvation history is about how God saved us. That is far more important than anything else, isn't it? Let me ask you another one, another comparison. What's better, having Jesus or not having Jesus? Having Jesus, right? It's an easy comparison to make. And yet, what we saw in the gospel lesson is that there were some disciples who couldn't make that comparison. They thought the worldly things were better. They didn't recognize what Peter did. Peter didn't leave, and neither did the other 11 disciples, because they recognized that Jesus has the words of eternal life. Why? What did Jesus do for us?
Died
on the cross for our sins. That's right. What does that mean? That where are we going to go someday?
In heaven.
We're going to go to heaven someday. Jesus secured our eternal life, and this is the word that proclaims it. Most important thing in this world. And yet, you and I can be tempted to take other things as more important. Worldly things, simple things.
The devil's really out to get us, to try to get us to fall into that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray for God's help, because we know we need his help. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that the devil is tempting us. We know that we have sinful natures that give in to many worldly things. Help us always remember what is most important. Help us remember that nothing compares to Jesus. Forgive us for our sins, Lord, and we know that you do, thanks to what Jesus did for us. Guide us all the way to that eternal life, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job. You can go back to your seats. And we'll continue with a hymn, the hymn of the day, number 283. It's a good hymn before a sermon, where we ask the Lord to speak because we're listening.
Thank you.
Grace and peace are yours, and they are the most precious thing in this world, brothers and sisters. Amen. The sermon text for this morning comes from Exodus chapter 7, but before we get to that, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare you. Amen. I know this is supposed to be time for the sermon, but I just feel like I have to make a deal here. I have this rusted old Mazda 3 out in the parking lot, and I was wondering if anybody would be willing to trade that. I'm looking for a Maserati or a Lamborghini. Anybody willing to make that trade? Yeah? Really? Well, I got another one for you then. All right. I've got claim to some land in Antarctica. There's a couple of acres, right? Do you have any land in San Fran area? Straight up trade, preferably along the coast. Yeah, no. Nobody willing to do those trades? I know, you're joking. Joking because they're obviously one-sided, right? Easy, no-brainer, it's all one-sided. One side is obviously better. Well, we'll see that here today, too, in these six verses in Exodus. Pharaoh is going to get his first taste of who God is. And we'll see, just like Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh did, not just who God is, but that he's just better. So let's set the scene before we get to these six verses. These six verses are the lead-in to the 10 plagues that God brings upon Egypt. Here we have Moses and Aaron going to Pharaoh for the first time. They asked him, let God's people, the Lord's people, the Hebrews, go out and celebrate a festival in his name. Pharaoh refuses, and he says, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Instead, he orders them to have harder work, which obviously results in more punishment. The Hebrew slaves complain to God, and Moses and Aaron complain to God, and it's like everybody gives in to Pharaoh's thinking, and they forget who God is. The Lord, being the Lord, assures them of who he is and what's about to happen. Pharaoh is going to get a taste of just who the Lord is. And his first taste comes in meeting number two between Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Notice, first of all, Pharaoh's demand for a sign. Okay, meager Hebrew slaves, if I'm going to listen to you, why don't you prove to me that your God is so special? All right, show me a sign that shows the wonderful power of your Lord. And isn't that just so typical of unbelievers? Even today we hear a lot of this. You ever hear anybody say something along the lines of, oh, well, if prayer is so powerful, then how come your Christian friend still died of cancer? If God is so good, why doesn't he save that Christian who was in a tragedy? God, if you are so good and powerful, then why is there even evil in the world at all? Why don't you come be my Superman and come swoop down and save me from all of my troubles? It's all just an easy dismissal for them to not believe in what they don't want to believe in already. But what if, bam, you were able to provide the sign that they demanded? Moses and Aaron did. The Lord allowed them to do that. Aaron took his staff, threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. What if I took this wooden pole here with this cross on it and I threw it on the ground and it became a snake? You'd be pretty impressed by that, wouldn't you? So there it was, Pharaoh's first sign that these little Hebrew slaves weren't alone. There was something greater at work behind them. Wouldn't it be nice if we had miracles like that too? We could show everybody who our God is and how powerful he is. Well, we can perform miracles. We just often tend to think of the big fancy dancy kind. But really, we can perform miracles too. We can show everyone who our God is and what power he has. Being kind and compassionate to someone, even if they're your enemy, really helps show them who God is and how compassionate the Lord is. If someone is showing you anger or hatred and you show them kindness, that's strange. That tells them there's something different here. There's something behind all of this. Something more powerful than what I normally see. And the same can go for other things too. Being nice to your friends who are unbelievers, being there for them. Being nice to strangers or to those who are looked down upon, and so on and so on. We can list a whole ton. These are just as powerful, if not more powerful, and more directed miracles that you and I perform every single day. And God does the same thing through them, shows who he is. Now, granted, the world isn't always going to take those seriously. They're not always going to say, oh, okay, great. Pharaoh didn't do that, and especially with what happened next. Pharaoh then summoned his wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. They did the same miracle. They duplicated the Lord's own miracle that he performed. And God allowed them to do it. They wanted to avoid acknowledging the Lord and his power and all of its impressiveness. And so they tried to replace it or duplicate it. The world nowadays does the same thing. The world tries to replace God's wisdom and power and word with things that it feels is just as good, if not better. The world creates other gods and other religions. The world thinks its concept of love is far greater than God's. The world thinks that it's far more tolerant than God. The world thinks that its wisdom and knowledge that it has is far more wise and powerful than anything that God can provide. The worldly pleasures and coping mechanisms are far better than the benefits that God can give too. And all this is especially true with what God says and reveals about sin. The world tries to dismiss it as unnecessary. The fact that sin is so serious. Well, my sin isn't that bad or that serious, that widespread. The good things I do outweigh the bad things. God is angry at those really bad sinners, not me. Oh yeah, God can be mad at me and hold me accountable for my sins, but come on, I'm human. I make mistakes. How can he hold me accountable for that? And here's the ultimate kicker. What I'm doing isn't a sin. As if we know, all of us humans know better than the one who determines what's good and bad. But none of that is surprising. They're unbelievers. They literally don't believe in God's power and his word and his wisdom. What's really surprising and sad is when we give into that thinking. The world has all of these other religions, and we can think to ourselves, yeah, sure, there's nothing wrong with them because they're just helping people become good people. We can even give in to the thinking where all of these world religions, they all just lead to the same place, right? It sounds so loving and all-inclusive, but what about the Savior who gave up his own life to pay for all of that unbelief, the world's and ours? Besides, all of their gods make them earn their love. Well, what happens when that love isn't deserved? What, they don't love them then? How is that so loving? And you and I can give in to that thinking. We think that we have to earn God's love. We focus on our good works or our Christian pedigree. My father's 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 father was a Christian. Or we can think to ourselves, well, I was confirmed in this church a long time ago. It's my golden ticket to heaven. I don't need to study or grow. But it's not just the world religions that we give into. We also give into the world's way of thinking, too. The world thinks of love and tolerance, and it says that you can't tell anybody that what they're doing is wrong. And you and I, again, it's think it sounds so nice and loving, but if it sets them on a path to hell, is that really all that loving? We can give in to the world's thinking a lot of times when it comes to being politically correct. We take that above what God says in Scripture. It's like you and I can sometimes forget who God is and the fact that He gives us these hard teachings for our good. And how about when we even for a second give into the world's wisdom and knowledge over and above what the one who created the earth and set all the stars and planets and galaxies in place? How long has mankind been accumulating knowledge and trying to figure out how the world works? And God is like, yeah, I did that in like 6 days. And that was stretching it on purpose. Oh yeah, you're super smart. You know way more than I do. But especially when the world tries to get us to get into sin and tries to convince us that it isn't that serious. And we give into these coping mechanisms and these earthly pleasures, even if they're momentary. But when they're done, what's left? Emptiness, like that empty egg I was shaking. Nothing's there. How truly sad it is when you and I get convinced by the world that our sins, all of these and others, are not serious. The world tries to ignore, avoid, replace, and duplicate God, and sadly, sometimes we do too. So what does God do? He shows that He's just better. The Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Now there's like a miracle upon a miracle upon a miracle happening here. All right, so the staff became a snake. Then the staff swallowed up not just one, and probably not just two, but multiple staffs from the Egyptians. And have you ever seen a snake try to swallow something? Especially another snake? It's like trying to shove a hose of the same size into another hose. And I looked it up on YouTube, a snake swallowing up another snake. It takes time. I'm guessing Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh weren't sitting there waiting for over an hour as Aaron's staff swallowed up all the other ones. No, I'm guessing it was pretty fast. This was an impressive display of power. And so, with this whole second meeting, and with all of these things going on with these staffs, it's obvious here that God is more powerful to Pharaoh and the than Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Pharaoh would see that with the 10 plagues to come, but even here, in these little 6 verses, it was obvious. And yet so simple. The Egyptians had no answer for what Aaron's staff did. Moses and Aaron obviously had something very powerful behind them. And you and I need to remind ourselves of the same thing. Nothing compares in this world to what our God and everything He has to offer with His power and His wisdom and His word. Other gods and world religions do not compare to our God. He doesn't make us earn His love. He just loves us. He's gracious. Even when we were sinners and His enemies, He sent His Son and gave His Son to die for us. His Son became a human being so that He could earn heaven on our behalf. And God gives us that grace freely. He even creates the faith that receives that grace. The Lord is just better than all of those gods. And the Lord's way of thinking is better than the world's way of thinking, too. The world thinks it knows love and tolerance, but our God does not tolerate our sin. He lovingly shows us our sins and how serious they are. He even embodied love, literally, as He became human flesh so that He could take the punishment of every single one of those sins. Ours, the world's, all of them. He gives us new life through His gospel and all of that message of what Jesus did. He shows how He carefully and thoughtfully, systematically created the earth to show us that He has been caring about us even before we were even created. We are so much more special than the rest of His creation. And He showed us just who He is, that when we fell into sin and we poisoned this world and ourselves, He didn't just throw us away, He provided salvation. The Lord is just better than all of that. The Lord's benefits don't end, they don't change. They're perfect and makes us overflow with them. The Lord is just better than all of them. And when it comes to the forgiveness of sins, the world doesn't even try. Have you noticed that? Not only can't they replace the forgiveness of sins, but they don't even try. That's why they have to dismiss sin as unnecessary. Don't have to worry about that. And yet there's our God freely forgiving our every thought, word, and deed that's sinful. There's our God giving us that new life so that we can say no to sin and honor Him. There's our God's Spirit living inside of us, showing how He's far more powerful than anything in this world, our sinful nature, the devil, anything. There's our God showing us where we're going to be someday, all thanks to Christ. The Lord is just better. And we're not saying that because we think as Christians that we're all high and mighty. No, we're saying that because we know He's high and mighty. And His love and His wisdom and His grace and His power and His word is far greater than anything that we have, us or the world. And we want the world to know that too. That's why we're still here. God works through us the same way He worked through Moses and Aaron. We have all those little miracles of Christian living where we can show people that the Lord is better for our sake and for theirs. And while the world might dismiss it, might not listen, even as Pharaoh did, miracle upon miracle upon miracle, let's not be like them. We can at least control what we ourselves do. Pharaoh's heart became hard and would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. He was blinded by his own magicians, and he was hardened by his own stubbornness. Let's not be like him. Let's listen. Let's listen to God's wisdom. Let's listen to God's word, even the hard teachings. Because we know that He is the best thing in this world, and it's not even close. So yes, these are just six little verses, and they're a lead into the big 10 plagues, but we still see that Pharaoh got a taste of who the Lord is. Even though you and I have tasted that, it's good to remind ourselves that over and over again, who the Lord is. He is that Maserati, that Lamborghini. He is that piece of land along the coast. The world can try to replace Him or duplicate Him, but they can't, not really. We know how our God compares. Let's face it, the Lord is just better. Thanks be to God for that. Amen. Please stand. May the Lord bless you with all of His better until you have that eternal life that His word speaks about. Amen. Let us confess our faith in our better Lord according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our act of faith, thanking the Lord.
did what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road. But that road brought me here. So I put up a fight and told you how to help me. Now just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. You know better than I. You know where I've let go. The need to know why. For you know better than I. If this has been
great blessings that we have that we often forget about is when we get to the prayer of the church, we think maybe these are just words on a page, but they're not, are they? What other people can go to their God like we can in prayer, have their God's ear and ask and praise and thank, especially when we get to do it together? What a blessing that is. So may God bless you and guide you as we join together in the prayer of the church. O Lord, light of the world and saving strength of your people, we thank you for the gift of your word, implanted in the hearts of your people so that set free from the power of Satan and the fear of death, we may live to serve and honor you. Pour out your spirit on us that we may grow richly in divine knowledge and spiritual understanding. Bless the proclamation of your word everywhere so that hearts may be turned from the darkness of spiritual ignorance, falsehood, and despair to the light of knowledge, truth, and life. Be with our missionaries in our own and distant lands. Protect them, encourage them, and crown their labors with success. Let your word shine in our homes, that parents and children may dwell together in love and serve one another in kindness and humility. Watch over the sick, the sorrowing, the anxious, and the weary. Preserve those who are in danger of body or soul. We think especially of David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Mornings with Mommy attendee Emma Lynn, the daughter of Suzanne Green, Aaron Lucklean's father, and Raina Stanley's father as well. Supply us by the grace of Jesus with the Spirit's power that we may ever be comforted by your truth and sustained by your love. Father, we praise you for the blessing of all of those celebrating birthdays. Give them a rich measure of your Holy Spirit so they can continue to glorify you in this life in word and deed. We ask that you also continue to be with everyone celebrating a wedding anniversary, such as Keith and Donna Williamson. Point them always to Christ, who is the perfect example of forgiveness and selfless love. For these and all other things you know we need, we confidently ask in the name of him who gave us himself, that we might live through him, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Join together in the next hymn, number 505 in the Red Songbooks. Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn that shows us that nothing compares to our Savior. In Christ Alone, number 752.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Greg Thiesfeldt. I'm the principal of the school, your new principal. It's been nice to join St. Mark's congregation, to be a part of worshiping with you, and to join in the ministry that you're doing. My wife, Lisa, and I want to thank all of you for your generous and warm support as we became members and moved to California. We've been here for about 6 weeks now. And it's my privilege to do the announcements to you, for you this morning. We want to thank our pastor and the musicians who enhanced our worship. May God bless and strengthen us through the word that we have heard. Well, we just finished our first week of school. This was a big week for us at St. Mark's School. We had our back-to-school night on Sunday a week ago, and school opened on Monday. Children were all happy to be in school. They might not admit it, but they were. Teachers are all happy to be in the classroom to see the kids. Children all enjoyed seeing their friends. And I think maybe they learned a thing or two during the week, too. So it was fun to be with them and to have our first week. As we finished that first week, we had the opportunity to celebrate with a splash water party on Friday after school in the afternoon and evening. It was well attended and a lot of fun. Now, we began our school year with 103 students. That's up from 95 that we had last year, so that's a nice increase in numbers. 26 new students among those 103. 12 of those, of course, are in our junior kindergarten, and the rest are new students. So thank God for that blessing of growth in our school. I just want to say thank you to the members of the congregation for your support of Christian education. This is a ministry of our church, that we share the Word of God with our children, that we raise them to be disciples of Jesus, and we prepare them for eternal life. Thank you for supporting that with your offerings and with your prayers. Without your support, our school could not exist. This school, I understand, has been around for close to 50 years now, and it's truly a wonderful way for us to follow that command of Jesus when he said, "Let the children come to me, and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So God bless our school. I want to share with you a few other announcements today. We invite everyone to stay for fellowship and more spiritual growth. Sunday school begins at 9:15 with a devotion in the chapel. Bible study here in the church, and teen Bible study, I think that's upstairs in the there's a room up there. I'm still learning the the surroundings. There is an event coming, and some of these things are in the St. Mark's update, so you should check that out. But one of the events that's in there is something at the Painted Cork, which is scheduled for October 14. And the update says that was a huge success last year, so see the update for details. Homeschool and public school confirmation classes will begin soon. Families with children in 7th and 8th grades should talk to or email Pastor Groth about that. The weeks before school began, the teachers and I were out doing home visits. We visited many of our families, and I noticed when I drove up to and walked to one of the families that I visited that they had a yard sign, and it said, "Ask me about St. Mark's." And I thought I'd just comment on that, because when we are willing to comment about what we have here at St. Mark's Church and School, that's that word-of-mouth promotion, and that is always the most effective way to promote what we're doing at our church and school. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do it, as is pointed out in the update, is to go online and do a testimonial, you know, a written testimonial on Facebook or Google or Yelp. Now, I hardly even know what those things are, but I know that in today's world, this is the way a lot of people learn about, especially people who are looking for a church or looking for private education. They go online and they get information. And if we have positive information about our church and school there, this is the way they find out about us. So we'll say that word-of-mouth testimonial is still the most effective, but doing things electronically, that works too. And we know that that some people have found us that way by looking online for testimonials. Finally, thank you. Thank you for your attention. See, I'm getting acclamation already there. Now, we want to ask Jim Oswald to come forward. He's going to tell you about a coming event at St. Mark's. Jim.
Morning. I just wanted to take this opportunity to encourage you about our community cook-off. It's coming in just less than a month, and in 2 weeks, we're going to go out in the neighborhood. So I have 7 ways you can help with this. First of all, we can all pray that the Lord uses this for an successful event. Oh, and my notes are not on my phone now, so I'll have to go from memory. The second way is you can sign up to be a contestant for the cook-off. You'd go on our website for that and sign up, and you'll see all the rules there. You can do that. Third thing, you can come to the cook-off. You can sign up in the back. We're asking that you bring a side dish to share. This event is kind of replacing a church picnic, so we want all of you there, but it's an outreach event as well to bring in the community. The fourth thing would be to go out on 9/8 with the Mighty Warriors. We're going to go knock on some doors with invitations and encourage people to come to the cook-off. You can I don't know if I'll have the 7 now, but those are the most important things, I guess. You can come, you can do the cook-off, you can go out and tell, you can pray about it. Oh, I know an important one. You can take one of these invitations and invite a friend, neighbor, coworker, something like that. We want to get as many new people on campus as we can. Okay? So and if any questions, talk to me or Brett Bangle, anyone on Board of Outreach, Pastor Growth, and we'll be happy to steer you in the right direction. Thanks a lot. Have a blessed Sunday, and we'll see you in Sunday school.